The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, before we get into things, I did just drop a new music video for my single, No Daddy's Girl, directed by Nahar Media. So you could go check that out on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/KatieTrop. Or you could go to my official website, katietrop.net, and check it out there. You can also, on my website, katietrop.net, you can also check out Sports Talk with Trop's preferred sports books if you're into sports gambling at all. And if it's legal in your state, just go to my website, katietrop.net, go to the Sports Talk with Trop page, and right at the top, there's a banner that says Sports Talk with Trop preferred sports books. Just click on that link, and it'll give you all of my preferred sports books that you could sign up for and gamble away. All right, so let's get into week 8 of the NFL. Man, oh man, was it an interesting week. We're about at the midway point of the season, which is just crazy to think. I mean, week 8 is about the midweek point or midway point. Some teams are starting to separate themselves from the pack. A couple of teams looked pretty bad in shocking fashion. So, we have a couple more injuries to add to the already long list of injuries, but let's get right into the game I was going nuts on. That would be the Los Angeles Rams at my Dallas Cowboys. Woo! That was such a great game from the Cowboys. One of the most complete games I've seen them ever play. Dak Prescott had probably one of the best games of his life. He threw for 304 yards, 4 touchdowns, did have 1 interception. That was about the only bad thing about that game. All 3 phases of the game, they just dominated. Micah Parsons had a great game. The defense overall had a great game. Deron Bland, he stepped in for Trayvon Diggs. Trayvon Diggs is our perennial cornerback. This dude was going to be hard to replace, and Bland steps right in and already has 3 interceptions for 3 touchdowns, which, by the way, is a Dallas Cowboys record. No Dallas Cowboy has ever, in one season, had 3 interceptions run back for touchdowns. Bland has done it. How fucking awesome is that? So defensively, we held it down. Offensively, we put together one hell of a run. I mean, CD Lamb also had a career day. He had 12 receptions for 158 yards and 2 touchdowns. And then, of course, the special teams took care of business as well. Our kicker, he had a 58-yard field goal, which is just insane. The kicker is money. It is so weird actually like having a good-ass kicker, because it's been a while since the Cowboys have had like a legit solid kicker. This guy just never seems to miss. I mean, he's going to miss eventually, but man, he has been money. And then we also had a blocked punt. It's just been a great season so far, and when we really put it together after the bye week, Cowboys got the big win, 43-20 over the Los Angeles Rams, and it was nice to see, but the real test is going to be coming this week in Philly. Moving on to the Jacksonville Jaguars at the Pittsburgh Steelers. This was a pretty difficult battle for the Jaguars. The Jaguars did get the win 20-10, but you know, the Steelers defense really held it down, but their offense let them down as they usually do. Kenny Pickett actually ended up getting injured in this one, and so their backup Mitch Trubisky ended up having to come in, and he looked about as shitty as Kenny Pickett did. But then turning to the other side of the ball, the Jaguars, they are now on a 5-game winning streak. They are looking like one of the best teams in the league. Trevor Lawrence had a great game, 292 yards, a touchdown, and 1 bad interception, which he even knew was like, that was stupid as fuck. But hey, he came right back out and just held it down and did not let it get him down. And the Jaguars were able to get a really, really nice win over the Pittsburgh Steelers, whose offense just looked as terrible as I have been saying. That the Pittsburgh Steelers offensively, they are just so bad, and I don't know how they're going to improve that shit. Then we had the Minnesota Vikings at the Green Bay Packers. You know, Kirk Cousins has actually been having a really, really good year. And, you know, he was able to get over that hump last week, have a solid game on Monday Night Football against the San Francisco 49ers. And unfortunately, he tore his Achilles in yesterday's win over the Packers. The Vikings got the win 24-10 in bittersweet fashion because, you know, you basically know immediately when somebody has an Achilles injury. You could just pretty much tell immediately, and you knew right when it happened to Cousins that it was not going to be good. And the MRI confirmed it today. He is done for the rest of the season, which just really sucks for the Vikings because they really just have now started to get going. And now this pretty much seals the deal. Their season's pretty much done. I mean, it's tough to say that week eight, but, you know, Cousins going out, that's takes a lot out of the wind of their sails. But and then you turn to the other side here, and the Green Bay Packers are just looking worse and worse as the season rolls on. Jordan Love is just looking terrible, and who knows what's going to happen with this Packers team, but they're probably going to have a pretty high draft pick come next year. But bittersweet win for the Vikings, and terrible loss for the Packers at home nonetheless. Then we had the Atlanta Falcons at the Tennessee Titans, and the Titans just put together a really solid game. They got the win 28-23. Will Levis had to step in at quarterback for Tannehill, who injured his ankle last week in London, or 2 weeks ago, I'm sorry, in London. So Will Levis, you know, he fell far in the draft. He wasn't really expected to fall as far as he did, but he did. And this is why you don't feel sorry for the dudes that fall, because guess what? He ended up having a great game yesterday. He passed for 238 yards and had four touchdowns. So, you know, he stepped it up when he needed to. And the way I see it is, I wouldn't be shocked if Levis ends up taking over for Tannehill. And if he doesn't take over for Tannehill, you kind of look at it and you go, maybe in the offseason, the Titans might want to think about moving off of Tannehill and start turning towards Levis, because Levis, he's going to get his opportunity. Chances are he's probably going to be playing again this week. So he's getting his chance and he's getting his opportunity. And that's why, yes, it looks shitty on draft night that he fell and, oh my God, let's all start crying for him. But it's like, no, dude, he's getting his shot. He's getting drafted into the NFL, and here he is. He's getting his shot at a starting quarterback opportunity. And act one looked pretty goddamn good. So we'll see what he's got in act two. And then, of course, Derrick Henry went off. He had 101 yards. DeAndre Hopkins had his best game in a Titans uniform. Levis was like, oh, this is all I need to do. Toss the ball up to Hopkins and he'll take care of the rest. Hopkins had 128 yards and three touchdowns. So big ass game from Hopkins, and a terrible game for the Falcons. Desmond Ridder ended up leaving the game with a concussion. So they ended up having to bring in, I can't even remember who they brought in at quarterback for him. But regardless, Falcons are starting to nosedive. And the Titans had a pretty solid game. Then we had the New Orleans Saints at the Indianapolis Colts, and the Saints put together probably their best game of the season overall. I mean, defensively, they really put it down, but offensively, this was finally their game. They went off. They got the win 38-27. Derek Carr, 310 yards and two touchdowns. And Rashid Shaheed was his receiver of choice. 153 yards and a touchdown. Alvin Kamara also had two touchdowns on the day. So the Saints finally put together a really, really good game offensively. And then defensively, they did their thing. And Saints starting to get rolling, it looks like. Then we had the New England Patriots at the Miami Dolphins. And Tua Tagovailoa still owns Bill Belichick's ass. Bill Belichick can't figure it out. He can't figure out how to get a win against Tua, but Tua absolutely dominated yesterday in a big win for the Dolphins, 31-17. Tua had 324 yards, three touchdowns, and an interception. Raheem Mostert had 46 yards on the ground and a touchdown. And then Jaylen Waddle had a huge day, 121 yards and a touchdown. And then Tyreek Hill also had a big day. He had a touchdown, and not only did he have a touchdown, but He also went for over 1,000 yards, and he became the first player to go for over 1,000 yards receiving it by week 8. So the guy is setting a record pace. I don't know how you're going to be able to stop him other than injury, but the Dolphins put away the New England Patriots yesterday, 31-17. Then we had the snooze fest of the day, the New York Jets at the New York Giants. Neither one of these teams wanted to score a touchdown. Like, whoa. I can't remember which team it was. I'm pretty sure it's the Giants. They had like -9 passing yards, I believe. Something really, really terrible like that. I mean, Tyrod Taylor, he got injured, so they had to bring in some rando quarterback with the last name of DeVito, some dude I've never even heard of. And, I mean, it was just field goal fest, and it was just so pathetic, too, because the Giants had a 4th-and-1. So they had, and they're in field goal position. So, you know, you can't blame the Giants for taking the points. I mean, in my opinion, that's what you do. You take the points. But what happened was, their kicker ended up missing the kick and giving the Jets the ball back. And, you know, usually you don't expect the Jets to drive it down the field. Well, guess what? Zach Wilson put together his two best throws of the day on this drive. And he was able to get the Jets within field goal position, and they were able to tie up the game at 10. Yeah, so they went into overtime tied at 10. That's how pathetic and shitty this game was offensively. Then going into overtime, Giants get the ball to start, and the Giants did what they did offensively, sputtered, gave the Jets the ball back, and somehow the Jets managed to get in the field goal position, and they were able to get the win 13-10. I'm honestly shocked this game did not end in a tie at 10, because that is how pathetic this game was offensively. But woo, that was probably the worst game of the year, at least so far, because whoa, I mean, neither team was even interested in scoring a touchdown yesterday. Then we had the Philadelphia Eagles at the Washington Commanders. The Commanders were making this a game to start. I mean, Sam Howell went off. He had 397 yards and 4 touchdowns on the day. But the Eagles do what the Eagles do, and they ended up getting the win 38-31. They were able to just make the big fourth quarter push and just do what they do. That's why the Eagles are probably right now the best team in the league, because they just know how to get the job done. Jalen Hurts ended up having 4 touchdowns on the day. And in the fourth quarter, they scored 21 points. Like I said, they were down for most of the game. But they just brought it back in the fourth quarter and were just able to hold on. A.J. Brown just continues to dominate through the air. He had 130 yards and 2 big-ass touchdowns on the day. And the Eagles, they are 7-1 and got the big win. And the Commanders just continue to circle the drain. And they just look really, really bad. And they're just in such disarray. And Ron Rivera looks really confused throughout the game. So, I don't know. This guy might want to just retire and head off into the sunset at this point. Then we had the Houston Texans at the Carolina Panthers. And congratulations to the Panthers. They were finally able to get their first win of the season. They won 15-13. And, you know, like I was saying on Friday's show, I went with the Texans, but hesitantly, because, you know, the Texans, you just can't trust them. And the Panthers were due for a win. I didn't really think the Panthers were going to go winless this season. So they did finally get their win. Bryce Young had a really good day, 235 yards and a touchdown. Adam Thielen had 72 yards. So they just were able to finally put together a solid game and finally get the win. Then we had the Cleveland Browns at the Seattle Seahawks, and this was a game. I mean, Seattle came right out, and they just had the lead going into halftime. But then the Browns were finally able to put together some drives, and it looked like they might hang on to it. But then the Seahawks just got the better of them. They got the game-winning drive, and Geno Smith had the game-winning TD pass. And they would go on to win 24-20. Geno Smith had 254 yards and 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions on the day. Kenny Walker III had 66 yards on the ground. But the Browns, defensively, still getting shit done, but offensively, just sputtering and looking terrible. Oh, by the way, Deshaun Watson still didn't play. His ass was on the sideline. Way to go, Browns, with that trade. Then we had the Kansas City Chiefs at the Denver Broncos. The Broncos have not beat the Chiefs since Peyton Manning played for the Broncos. Yeah, they have lost 16 games straight to the Kansas City Chiefs. They were finally able to break that streak yesterday, 24-9. They really didn't want to. I mean, this game was pathetic to begin with. I mean, neither team wanted to get shit going, but finally, the second half got going, and the Broncos were able to just get it moving, and they did get the win, 24-9. Russell Wilson had 3 touchdowns on the day. Patrick Mahomes had probably the worst game of his career. He threw a couple of really bad interceptions. He had a fumble. He was running for his life. And, I mean, I've been saying it the last couple of weeks pretty much with the Chiefs is they don't really have any offensive weapons beyond Kelce. Everybody else is basically just like wide receiver by committee. They're like running back by committee. And other than Kelce, there is no regular source of offense. And the more and more that you're going to have to rely on Mahomes, it kind of feels like he might end up getting injured at some point. Just because so much is going to be put on him and Kelce as well that, I don't know, something bad could happen, or eventually at some point other teams are going to figure them out. And, you know, you got teams like the Bengals who are on a hot streak right now who already own the Chiefs at this point just historically in the playoffs. And it's just kind of like with the Chiefs, I expect them to make the playoffs for sure. I'm not looking at the Chiefs like, oh, my God. They're not going to make the playoffs. No, I'm looking at the Chiefs like once they make the playoffs, it's going to be an uphill battle because they have nobody reliable beyond Travis Kelce. And that's becoming a problem. And it was a huge problem yesterday. I mean, I'm not shocked that the Broncos were finally able to step it up. This is a division battle. And yes, the Chiefs have their number. But that's the thing about division battles. Anything can happen, and anything did happen in yesterday's big win for the Broncos, who are finally starting to put together something here, even though I still don't believe in the Broncos. Then we had the Baltimore Ravens at the Arizona Cardinals. The Cardinals actually did make this game interesting, but the Ravens still got the win in the end, 31-24. Gus Edwards, actually, he had a big game for the Ravens. Finally, somebody else on offense stepped it up besides Lamar Jackson. Edwards had 80 yards and 3 touchdowns on the day, and the Cardinals just had some really bad interceptions in the end. It just looked like a really overall terrible team. I mean, like I said, the score dictates that it looks like it was a close game, and technically it was 31-24, but the Ravens, they pretty much had full control for the majority of this game. And there really wasn't any point where I was like, oh, yeah, the Ravens are going to lose this. Nah, the Ravens really took control and actually had a very balanced game. It was just, you know, this is the NFL, and the Cardinals do play with heart. They have put their, even though they're a 1-7 team, they pretty much have made it difficult for the majority of the teams that they've played this season. So even though the Ravens squeaked by them, they still got a really good win with a very balanced attack. And then the really just crazy game of the day, the Cincinnati Bengals at the San Francisco 49ers. The Bengals went into San Francisco and took care of business. I mean, the Bengals dominated this game from the jump. They got the win, 31-17, and the Niners, you know, it kind of looked like they were going to make a comeback. That's been their thing. They have not been able to make a comeback yet, and they still weren't able to make a comeback because, you know, they got it within a scoring distance, and then the Bengals were like, nah, we're just going to go ahead and take this down the field, and they did. And then, you know, like I said, it was going to happen with Brock Purdy. He was going to start to show some cracks, and in these last couple of games he has. While he did have a good game yesterday, 365 yards through the air and a touchdown, he did have 2 interceptions and a crucial fumble in the end. But it's not just all on him. Their offensive line did not have a good game. Their defense got shredded by Joe Burrow. I mean, Burrow is looking healthy. That's all there is to it. Him and Ja'Marr Chase are in sync. They are looking great right now. And the Bengals are starting to surge, and they're starting to look like their old selves. And, you know, they're looking very, very scary. Not only in the AFC, but they're starting to really surge. And spoiler alert, they're definitely going to be in my top 10 NFL power rankings this week. That is for damn sure, because even though the 49ers are now on a 3-game losing streak, they're still a good team. And the Bengals went into San Francisco and took care of business against a good team. So starting to show some holes with the Niners. And I mean, a 3-game skid, that's bad. That's really bad. I mean, the Eagles haven't done that. Hell, my Cowboys haven't even done that. The Cowboys haven't even lost 2 games in a row yet this season. So a 3-game skid for the Niners is pretty goddamn bad, because maybe they were feeling themselves too much off of that Dallas win. But either way, they're headed into the bye week with the 3-game losing streak, and they've got a lot of things to rework over the bye week. And I'm sure they will, but they've got the Jaguars coming out of the bye week too. So they've got a really good-ass team coming at them. And we'll see what happens there. But Niners on a 3-game losing streak right now, and things are starting to crumble for the almighty Niners. And then the snooze fest of the night was Sunday Night Football with the Chicago Bears versus the Los Angeles Chargers. And this game went as expected. The Chargers dominated from start to finish. They got the win 30-13. Justin Herbert had a night, 298 yards and 3 touchdowns. Austin Eckler had a night as well, 94 yards and a touchdown. And the Bears looked like straight trash. All right, moving on to tonight's game. We have the Las Vegas Raiders at the Detroit Lions. Right now, the Lions are a 7.5-point favorite. The Raiders, I believe Jimmy G is actually expected to play tonight. Doesn't really matter to me, just because the Raiders look terrible offensively no matter who is their quarterback. They have zero identity on offense, whereas the Lions, coming off of an ass whooping last week, I kind of feel like they got humbled last week. They're back to their old selves, biting off kneecaps this week, and I feel like they're going to get a big win, 40-13. And moving on to the World Series, we have had us an excellent first couple of games. So game one was Friday night, and Arizona was putting it on the Rangers, and it looked like, oh man, Rangers ain't getting a win at home. And then all of a sudden, it's the ninth inning, down, and Corey Sager comes up to bat. And Corey Sager, if you know, you know. The dude is money during the playoffs. He was great during the Los Angeles Dodgers 2020 playoff or World Series run. He's really been one of the most consistent players basically since the day he hit the league. But he's really good when it comes to the postseason. And comes up to bat and hits a 2-run home run and ties it up for the Rangers in the World Series game one. So it's 5-5. Headed into the 11th inning, that dude Adolis Garcia comes up to bat, knocks out the game-winning home run in the 11th inning, and the Texas Rangers walk it off, take away game one, 6-5. Well, you're thinking game two, oh man, Diamondbacks got to be down and out after that one. No, they decided we're just not going to let you even get close in this one. First of all, Merrill Kelly pitched the game of his life. He went 7 innings, had 9 strikeouts, and only scored 1 run on him. And then Tommy Pham also had the game of his life. He went 4-for-4. Ketel Marte hit a playoff record, 18. He's got an 18-game hit streak still going, but it's a playoff record now at 18. Who knows if he's going to extend it to 19 into game three. But basically, game two was just absolutely all Arizona. They got the win 9-1. So we've got game three tied up all at 1. Game three is tonight in Arizona. And this is a real series, folks. I mean, I thought after game one, like, oh, shit. The Rangers are going to crush this shit. Game two, Arizona's like, nah, we are not letting this get away from us. Now Arizona's at home. Arizona is really good at home. They've got an excellent bullpen, even though they gave it up in game one. At home, they're really good. And if this gets, well, it actually will. It will get pushed all the way to the game three, a third game because it's 2-3-2 in the World Series. So we just had two games in Texas. So that means you'll have three games in Arizona here. So I'm expecting the third game in Arizona is going to be Gallen pitching for the Diamondbacks. And you don't want that dude pitching at home. So right now, I would not be surprised if Arizona gets the clean sweep at home. Now, I don't think that's going to happen, but I wouldn't be surprised. Just Arizona is playing really well, and even though they lost game one, they should be up 2-0 right now on the Rangers. And so they're actually really dominating starting pitching-wise. Their bullpen's playing well, and they are knocking in the runs. So, and they're not scared. They do not give a shit. This team does not give a shit. So, like I said, game three is tonight in Arizona. So we'll see what they've got for us. And, you know, enjoy the rest of the week of sports. And I will talk to you all on Wednesday.